Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Is investing in SpaceX a good bet? Join us as we discuss. Hello, hello. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I am Campbell, and once again, we have Peter in the studio with me. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Campbell. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
All right. So we've been discussing our business article for this month, and we're talking about SpaceX. Now, what was something that kind of stood out to you from yesterday's conversation, Peter?
Oh, goodness. I guess what stands out to me is Musk's ambition, that he doesn't just want to be in the aerospace industry. He is not satisfied with just kind of moving at the general pace of progress that the overall industry is moving at. He wants to, as we say in English, shoot for the moon. Yeah. No pun intended.
Literally.
Literally. Because he dreams big, you know, and a wonderful word from yesterday that we learned, quixotic, Q-U-I-X-O-T-I-C, quixotic, means when maybe your dreams are a little too big, or maybe when they're not grounded in reality, and that's always a possibility when you dream big like Elon Musk does.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's by dreaming big that humanity often makes those big advances. And, you know, there's a time to play safe, but there's a time to dream big.
Yeah. I'm always amazed by men like Elon Musk or Steve Jobs who are able to think in such grand manners.
Yes.
You know, I think sometimes for me, I'm like, what am I going to do this weekend? I can barely figure that out. And he's thinking about landing people on the moon and colonizing Mars and setting AI data centers into space.
Yes.
Right? All right. So as we discussed yesterday, SpaceX is an aerospace industry company, and they have been making reusable rockets. And up till now, since they opened or founded in 2002, up till now, it's been a private company. Now, in 2026, the article says that it is eyeing what could be the largest IPO, initial public offering, right? So they're thinking about it. And how much is the company seeking to raise?
Right. They are seeking to raise a mere $30 billion.
Chump change.
Chump change. Yeah. A billion, of course, is 1,000 times a million. So $30 billion, a fair amount of money. And that this would value the company at $1.5 trillion. Dollars, 1,000 times a billion.
That's a lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros.
Okay, so and we mentioned yesterday that this could be the largest initial public offering compared to the biggest one to date is from the behemoth Saudi Aramco, which raised $29 billion during a 2019 offering that valued the state-owned company at more than $1.5 trillion. Right. And the reason the company is thinking of going public is because it has a voracious appetite for capital. They have a lot of goals that they want to achieve, and all of these goals require a lot of money. Okay, so we're going to continue discussing these goals and why it is so important and why it's so urgent for them to raise this capital at this point. So, without further ado, let's get into our article. What is the urgency to raise so much money? Musk has often talked about colonizing the Red Planet in his lifetime, and that might be a technological stretch. SpaceX has been under pressure to get the massive Starship spacecraft ready for NASA's Artemis mission to put Americans back on the moon. Brett Johnson, the company's finance chief, said the offering could raise a significant amount of capital, with proceeds funding much faster development of Starship, missions to Mars, and the deployment of the AI data centers. right. So what is the urgency to raise so much money? The urgency meaning that they need it now, right?
Right,
there's just a sense of just they can't wait. All right. So Musk has often talked about colonizing the red planet in his lifetime. Now, the red planet, we are referring to Mars.
Right.
Okay. And he wants to do it in his lifetime. Now, he's in his 50s. 40s,
I want to say 50s.
Somewhere around there, right? So, you know, he doesn't have all the time in the world.
Right.
So maybe within, you know, let's say he lives to 100, he's got about 50 years to achieve this goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a big goal.
Okay. Yes.
And that might be a technological stretch, to put it mildly.
Yes, yes. Good use of the word stretch there. Normally we think of a stretch just when we, you know, extend our arms or legs. Get out of bed in the morning and stretch those muscles. But stretch here also means, when we use it this way, that might be a stretch. It means aiming for something that is beyond your reach.
Yes.
So that you have to stretch for it, like you stretch for the cookie jar on the very top of the shelf in the kitchen, but you're not quite tall enough. You can't quite reach it. It's
right.
a stretch. And so, yeah, some more than just a few people think that colonizing Mars in Musk's lifetime, you know, it's a fascinating goal, but it might be a stretch to actually achieve in that timeline.
Yeah, for sure, because let's be honest, the technology doesn't exist yet.
Exactly.
And that's what this money is for, is that they need to basically invent and create the technology to make this a reality.
Right.
Now, SpaceX has been under pressure to get the massive Starship spacecraft ready for NASA's Artemis mission. Now, what is NASA's Artemis mission?
Right. Well, NASA, National Aeronautics Space Administration, the government body that is involved in aerospace in the United
American
States.
The American one.
Right, yeah. The Artemis mission is planning to put Americans back on the moon. The last time we were there, I believe, was back in 69.
Yeah.
The first landed in 69, and then again, I think, once or twice in the early 70s. I think India has been there since then. I think mainland China has been there since then. Americans are going to be returning there under the Artemis mission. So the point here for Elon Musk is that he's got a big client here who has a schedule here. And he needs to, you know, they're using his Starship spacecraft, it was described yesterday as a deep space spacecraft. Deep space just means pretty much anything beyond the moon, beyond Earth's moon. It doesn't mean like going to a faraway galaxy or something.
Right.
Deep space just means above, you know, Earth's immediate orbit.
Mm-hmm. So beyond just his goals of getting to Mars, he's also got to help NASA to send astronauts to the moon.
Right, using this Starship spacecraft.
All right. So we have a quote here from Brett Johnson, who is SpaceX's finance chief. What does he say?
Right. He says that the offering, the initial public offering, could raise a significant amount of capital.
Yes. And the proceeds would fund much faster development of Starship, missions to Mars, and the development of the AI data centers. Okay, so what would this money actually go to? Well, for Starship, this would allow them to build more prototypes, hire more engineers, okay, so more minds working on the project. They can expand facilities, right? So creating these Starships, you need basically factories or facilities to make the physical rocket ships,
right.
Launch pads, all these things cost money, and they're able to fund more flights.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, for Mars, they can do multiple parallel missions, so they not, you know, maybe not just do one, they can do multiple missions, you know, because if you're going to colonize a planet where nobody's lived on before, you probably have to take a few trips
to
explore and to kind of figure out how things work out there.
Right. Colonize doesn't just mean to land on it and then go home. Colonize means you're going to start a society there that lives there year-round.
Yes, and then you've got to set up the infrastructure, right? The buildings and all the transportation and everything out there, and you know, and then you've got to deliver food and everything.
Yeah, that's involved in having a society, having a town.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all going to cost money, right? And then, and these AI data centers, we'll talk about that in this next section. All right. So basically, they need a lot of money. And now, like, they cannot wait. This is why they are eyeing, they're discussing, they're planning for this IPO. All right. So we've talked about these AI data centers. We've talked a lot about, you know, setting these things into space. Let's actually look at what they are planning to do and why they are planning to send these AI data centers into space. Why put data centers in space? Musk's artificial intelligence company, xAI, and its Grok chatbot are in a race against Google, OpenAI, and other competitors to build the most sophisticated AI agents, leading to hundreds of billions of dollars of capital investments. But hampering all competitors are the huge power needs of data centers that perform all of the computations. One so-called hyperscale facility has power needs equivalent to 100,000 households, according to the Pew Research Center. Putting data centers into Earth's orbit powered by a large solar cell array would give the chips 24-hour access to the sun's energy if the satellite is in what is called sun-synchronous orbit. Musk has confirmed that data centers were a key reason for the IPO. He also could foresee launching data centers each year with aggregate 100 gigawatt power consumption, equivalent to more than 20% of the country's annual power consumption. All right, so we've been talking about colonizing Mars. We've been talking about sending astronauts to the moon. Now we're finally talking about these AI data centers, right? So Musk, besides having Tesla and having SpaceX, he has another company, artificial intelligence company called xAI, and it's Grok chatbot. And they're in a race against certain individuals or companies we may have heard of.
Yes, this thing called Google. I think it has something to do with finding things on the internet.
Yes.
And also OpenAI, of course, the maker of ChatGPT, the most familiar AI platform, I think, that we're aware of. And so it's interesting, actually, because this is AI is not necessarily anything to do with the aerospace industry.
No.
But SpaceX is involved in it, but so is Musk's other company, specifically xAI. Still want to find out someday about Musk's fascination with the letter X.
Yes, me too. He named his son X. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, his son is named X.
And in a way, it doesn't surprise me. X Musk.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, that is another article for another day. But so he wants to build sophisticated AI agents. They all do. And so that leads to hundreds of billions of dollars of capital investments. Capital, of course, just another word for money.
Right. For all these companies.
For all these companies,
added
right,
together.
In general.
So everybody's basically competing to create the best and the most sophisticated, the most accurate AI.
Yeah.
But there's a problem. There's
right.
a problem for all of them. And what is that problem?
Right, right. Well, the huge, what is hampering them, meaning what is creating a problem, what is hampering all these competitors are the huge power needs of data centers that perform all of the computations that make AI work. And I imagine by now we've all heard and read about the data centers for like ChatGPT or for any other AI platform, how they require enormous amounts of energy, and it's almost like building a small town mm-hmm. somewhere out in the desert and
yeah.
finding adequate power for that.
Right.
So this, you know, for the expansion of AI, the power needs are just as much a part of the picture.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, basically AI is run by computers.
Right.
And for the computers to do the computations and to be able to respond efficiently, they need a lot of computers and computers that can think quickly, but that's a lot of power that they need to consume. Right.
Right.
I think
right.
an analogy is, you know, let's say you want to deliver pizzas, right? Now you can deliver it on a bike. Okay, now that takes a little bit of energy, but if you want to deliver a lot of pizzas, you're going to need a lot of cars.
Right.
Now,
right.
a lot of cars They're going to take a lot of oil, a lot of energy,
exactly,
right? So same thing, you know. If you want to do some basic computations, you know, just go on the internet, whatever, you know, maybe a little bit, like one computer can handle that, you know. But now it's not just simple, like asking questions on the internet. It's thinking and it's processing. And that just takes a lot of energy, a lot of computers. And, you know, and it says here, one so-called hyperscale, meaning just very, very large facility, as you mentioned earlier, Peter, kind of like a small town in some ways, has power needs equivalent to 100,000 households. That's a lot.
Quite a large small town. You know, that's like a medium-sized city, 100,000 households. The equivalent amount of power is needed just to power one of these hyperscale, very large facilities that make the AI machines do their thing.
Right. Now, the problem is, you know, the energy that's available is also going to power our homes and our offices and our cities. And so some of the energy is going towards that. Now, you can't be putting all this energy into these facilities and then not having enough for our lights at home.
Those actual households, you know, there is several hundred thousand households out there that also need the power. And like you were saying, energy is needed to enable the AI circuitry to do its computations, but a large amount of energy is also needed to cool down all those machines while they do all their computations.
Yes, exactly.
And that's an additional factor.
So Musk and his company, xAI, they have a unique solution. And what is it that they're proposing?
Yeah, no, this is fascinating. I mean, this is something that gets my attention. They want to put these data centers, instead of, you know, building a small town out in the desert, they want to put them in space on a large solar cell array, meaning just an arrangement, a group of something, an array, several of them, which would give the chips 24-hour access to the sun's energy. Now, there's a source of energy that's not going to dry up anytime soon.
Right.
If the satellite is in what is called sun synchronous orbit. Synchronous just means something that is in coordinated with something else. And so for a satellite to be in synchronous orbit with the sun, it means that it orbits around the Earth in a way that it is always facing the sun and can always draw on the sun's power.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not unfamiliar with solar energy and solar power. This is something that's been around for a while, you know, and so this is actually very innovative, right?
Yeah.
To actually just then send it to space and then have it track the sun so that it's always going to be able to have the sun kind of basically shining on it, and it's just going to have this continual power source.
Right. It won't have to power down when the sun goes down for the day because it'll always be facing the sun.
Yeah. And so basically sending these data centers into space, and then they always have the energy that they need, so then they're not taxing the existing power source here on Earth.
Right, exactly.
All right. And Musk has confirmed that data centers, so these satellites that he's proposing of sending into space, were a key reason for the IPO. So beyond his Mars goals and the moon landing, this AI data center idea is one of the big reasons that they need this extra capital and why they're thinking about going public.
Yeah. And he goes on to say that he could foresee, he could, imagine in the near future, he could foresee launching data centers each year into space with aggregate 100 gigawatt, you'll sometimes also hear gigawatt, 100 giga or gigawatt power consumption, aggregate meaning the total amount of something after all have the factors and figures and points have been all added together, the grand total of 100 gigawatt power consumption, which is equivalent to more than 20% of the country's, that is the United States, annual power consumption. More than 20%. That means these data centers each year use a fifth of the country's entire power consumption of the United States of America. We are talking about a lot of power.
Yeah, so just putting it into perspective, I looked it up. 100 gigawatt power could power 70 to 100 million homes. Okay, so 70 to 100 million households. Now, we talked earlier about how one hyperscale facility could use the power equivalent to 100,000 households. So we're talking about 1,000 times.
Yes.
1,000 times the power of one of these hyperscale facilities. So he's like, what competition? No competition. I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to blow you out of the water. Exactly. 1,000 times, you know.
Yeah, Musk is not known for his modest goals.
Right. So, you know, 100 gigawatt could power all of Japan. All right. Or multiple mega cities like New York, Tokyo, Taipei combined.
Combined.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, what power shortage? No power shortage. I'm just going to go right to the source. We just go straight to the sun.
Straight to the sun, yeah. And I mean, in a way, the simplicity of it is brilliant.
Yes.
Because solar power has always had this great promise, but the problem is that it's on Earth, and Earth spends some of its rotational time not facing the sun.
Yes.
And so during that time, you don't have access to the power. It can be stored in batteries to some sense, but not like these floating data centers would have, being in sun-synchronous orbit. They'd have full access to the sun 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. So is it really feasible? It makes sense on paper, but is it really feasible? Well, let's finish up our article and then we can discuss. Is that really feasible? It's a tall order, experts say. Ehud Bahar, an astrophysicist at the Technion Israel Institute of Technology, said that there are technological hurdles to be overcome, including how to cool the satellites while being exposed to constant sunlight. I have not seen a convincing argument or a convincing solution for cooling such data centers, he said. Other drawbacks include the rapid advances of AI chips, which could make an orbiting data center quickly obsolete, as well as the difficulty in fixing a malfunctioning satellite. I'm not convinced that that is worthwhile. However, this is something I always advocate. When people try to do hard things, good things happen, he said. All right, so we hear from an expert here, Ehud Bahar. He's an astrophysicist at the Technion Israel Institute of Technology. And what does he say?
Right. He says that these goals of Elon Musk and SpaceX is a tall order. Nice English expression there, a tall order, meaning a request or a piece of work that is almost impossible to do. It is a tall order. That there are technological hurdles to be overcome, problems, challenges, obstacles in the way, hurdles, including big point here, how to cool those satellites with the data centers while they're exposed to constant sunlight.
Yeah, and you mentioned that yesterday, right? You said that part of the energy goes to computation, but part of the energy goes to cooling them down.
Exactly.
Right? So you've got these satellites in space constantly exposed to the sun. And I mean, just think about you being out in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, you get overheated,
right?
And so let's say a car being out in the sun, it's just getting really hot.
Right.
Now think about the fact that the sun is shining on it, it's getting hot, but then it's also doing these computations, also creating energy and heat. So these machines are going to get really overheated.
How are
you going to cool them down out in space?
Right. And basically, there is no answer to that at this point.
Or at least Behar
does not see that there's a convincing answer to that yet, a convincing argument or solution, he says.
Yeah. And that's only one of the problems. The other problem, he says here, another drawback, the AI chips are advancing quickly. Right. And so we all know technology. I mean, your iPhone within a few years becomes what we call obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the technology that's in your phone is basically outdated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so AI chips are constantly advancing, and these things aren't, you know, you just walk over and you just replace it. You have to go into space.
Right.
You to have replace to it.
Launch a rocket.
Yeah. So it's not something very practical. So how are you going to solve that issue, right? And also, if something breaks, how are you going to fix it? Again, you can't just walk over to the machine you know, take a screwdriver to it.
Exactly.
You've actually got to launch something into space or figure out a way to remotely fix it.
Right, right, which can be done. We think of the launches to the various space stations that we've had and how they'll have to send up astronauts from time to time to fix something. But that's, you know, expensive. And that's, you know, done as much in the name of progress in human science as it is in this case. We're just talking about, like you say, fixing a bug in your AI program.
Right.
But with the same level of involvement and cost involved, there needs to be some kind of solution, some kind of technological breakthrough that can make it more practical.
Yeah. And it sounds like a good idea on paper, as we said, right? But is it worthwhile, right? Yeah. Ehud Bahar, he says he's not really convinced. However, I really like this last sentence. It says, this is something I always advocate. When people try to do hard things, good things happen. It kind of reminds me of this saying that I heard once. It says, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
Hmm, nice one.
Right? Yeah. So just this idea, like, try to do big things, you know? And even if you don't quite achieve these lofty goals, at least something beneficial will happen.
Right, right, from the attempt. And you'll often hear a related English expression, I'd rather fail aiming for 10 than succeed aiming for 5.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you fail aiming for 10, you might land on 7, which would be more than 5, you know, figuratively speaking. And so, yeah, there's certainly an advantage, a benefit to aiming big. But even, you know, even then, it is still possible to aim too big and maybe lose more than you gain. So Musk, you know, needs to dream, but he also needs to not be too quixotic in his thinking.
Yes. All right. So what do you think? Do you think it will be worth it to invest in SpaceX? What do you think about Elon Musk's quixotic desires to colonize Mars and sending astronauts into space and to land on the moon and to send these AI data centers into space? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's worth it? Would you invest? Let us know. Write to us. We'd love to hear from you and love to hear your opinion. And if you have any questions about anything that we've taught, feel free to reach out. We'd always love to hear from you.
Right. Feel free to leave a comment right below in the more information box here on the YouTube channel where you're possibly hearing this broadcast.
All right. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, this is Campbell.
I'm Peter.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.